On this very special day, Good Friday, on the day our Lord Jesus Christ willingly decided to go to the cross on our behalf, that we may have life with Him. So let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this very Good Friday indeed. God, for your suffering, God, for your will, God, to lay down your life that we may have life. God, that we may be with you now and forevermore. So, Lord, would you send your Spirit to teach us of the cross? Would you help us to understand, God, all that you have done? Help us to see, open our eyes. God, help us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. If there is a symbol for Christianity, it is the cross. Some people wear it. Some people post it. It is the message that summarizes our very lives. Scripture says that God so loved the world. God loves the world. That means that God loves all mankind, all human beings. He loves all the animals. He loves his plants. He does. And sometimes I'm amazed when I watch documentaries and how strange and beautiful these creatures are. And I believe God delights in them. And there's no room for cruelty to animals because God loves them. There's no room to devalue another human being because of race, gender, even sexual orientation. All deserve respect because of the value that each human life has before God. God loves the world. So there is no backbiting, there is no gossip that you should have to talk about one of God's creatures and devalue them because God loves them. But Scripture also said that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that whoever believes in Him might have life. And life eternal. And there is something very special now, going from this general love and value that all of God's creatures have, to now those who would believe in Jesus Christ, who would accept His suffering, His sacrifice, His death and resurrection. We want to talk about that today. We want to talk about that special love that He offered the world for those who would believe. And we want to talk about the cross and what it means. What the cross represents is the death of entitlement. And I want to make sure, because we have some Koreans that might want to understand that in a Korean sense. So in Korean, it means 자격. In Chinese, it means 인신권리. I think 전리 means right. I'm not very good at this Chinese thing. And if there was a Pakistani translation, I would have said that. But I don't. But the cross in its essence represents the death of entitlement. Let's read Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, have this mind. When you become a Christian, You have to think this way. This is what it means to be a Christian, and this is what it meant to Christ when he went to the cross. And this is what it means on Good Friday, year after year, what it means to come to the foot of the cross and understand what he did. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. What a special kind of love for those who would believe. He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. He gave up his rights as the king. He gave up his rights as our Lord, and he became a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself. That's what it means when you empty your rights. Entitlement is the title. He gave up his title to become human. He didn't give up his Godhead, but he gave up his rights, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, the most cruel form of death. Now, we live every day with a sense of rights. We feel entitled. I did not realize this, but when I got married, I felt a certain right that I have as a husband. And I'm sure, ladies, when you became a wife, you felt you had some rights as a wife. And parents, when you became parents, and you probably experienced this, your parents feel like they have certain rights over you. And you as children feel like you have certain rights from your parents. So, children have to obey their parents. That's what the Bible says. And parents ought to love their children. That's what the Bible says. Husbands must love their wives. That's what the Bible says. And wives should respect their husbands. That's what the Bible says. Now, that's very different. Because children have to obey their parents does not mean that parents deserve their children's obedience. Let me say that again. Just because children have to obey their parents does not mean that you deserve their obedience. Just because wives must respect their husbands does not mean that husbands can demand and deserve their respect. Husbands must love their wives. Does that mean that you're, as a wife, that does not mean you deserve their love? That's very interesting, isn't it? Because what does the cross tell us? The cross tells us that we're on the other side of justice, and that Christ came, gave up his rights, that we may have life. What the cross tells us is what? We have value before God, but we do not have entitlements. Because why? When you chose the way of the cross, you gave up all rights. You gave it up. That's what it means to be a Christian. It's difficult. Every day. It says, Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. That means if somebody is suffering, you go to them and you want to help. When you see a need, you go and bear that. And that's the law of God, that we have to be there for each other.
See, we loving God, we're not going to be there for God. God doesn't need your help. But he says you got to be there for each other. He says, for, and here's why we're not there for each other, because for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Paul is not saying that you have no value. You think that you're too special to help, that you got no time, you see, because you deserve something better. The reason you don't have time, availability, the reason you're not accessible and approachable is because you think you're something. If you don't have time and you can't be bothered, it's because you think way too highly of yourself. That means you feel entitled to not to do that. Now, the cross represents an invitation. That's where all entitlements go to die. Now, the thing about entitlements is it makes us sick. It does. When somebody cuts us off, right? When we feel entitled, ooh, right? You're driving. And you have what? What do they call that? You have the right of way. You have the right, don't you? Nobody can get in that lane because it's your lane. You have the right. And somebody just got in there. Now, I'm pretty forgiving when people cut me off because I did my share of cutting off people myself. Okay, so usually I'm a little bit more forgiving than my wife, I think. Because she's such a good driver. My point is this. What happens when your rights, instead of giving up your rights, instead of giving it up, you exercise them? How dare they? And you get angry, right? What does the cross say? Give it up. And here's the sickness that comes from entitlement. You complain. You grumble. You know who they are. They're constantly grumbling. They're complaining all the time. Why? Because they feel special. They feel entitled. They gossip. They do. And they're always in conflict with somebody. The boss, their peers, they're blaming other people. All the time, it's somebody, somebody. Somebody didn't do something or somebody did something. And they're frequently hurt. Why? Because their rights were violated. My rights were violated. Here's the thing. If you took your rights to the cross, you would be at peace. Now, that doesn't mean... Here's the thing. When you can do that, you're more like Christ than anything. If you take your rights and take it to the cross, you're more like Jesus Christ than ever before. If you take that hurt, right, and somebody just, right, and you take that right, or you take that self-pity, and you take that, and you take it to the cross. Entitlements bring disappointments, don't they? They do. Many of us live in disappointment. Disappointment from our children, our husbands, our wives, our friends. He's supposed to be my friend. She's supposed to be my best friend. We're so disappointed. See, those are titles, aren't they? A friend, right? Wife, child, parent, boss, coworker. These are all titles. Employee. Now the world tell you that you better, if you have any self-respect, you better exercise those rights, Now, why didn't Jesus think of that? Why didn't Jesus think of that? And then ultimately, it leads us to depression. Here's the voice of entitlement. You owe me, I deserve it. That's right? You ought to's and you should have's. Here's a story that Jesus tells. It's a true story of Mary and Martha. Luke chapter 10, 38. Somebody, right? Here's the voice, and I want you to hear it. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care? Here she is. Now, in that is what? Hey, look, you owe it to me. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to serve you. You owe it to me. That my sister, do you not care that my sister have left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. I deserve her help. You owe it to me, and I deserve it. You know what that sounds like, right? In your head? You invite people over, right? There's a huge, big mess in the kitchen, right? The table needs cleaning. The dishes got to get done. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody has got to give up their rights. Now, it's not hard to get angry or bitter at someone who done, right? It's easy. Now, you wonder, how often do I need to go to the cross with my rights? Here's the good news. Every day. Every day. And when you do, here's the promise of God. When you go to God with your rights and you give it up, you will be renewed. Now, that doesn't mean you don't, right, talk to your spouse about being lazy, not being helpful. But it's something completely different, isn't it? When you're speaking out of your rights, not out of love. And the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Look, I know what you think you deserve, and I know that you think I owe it to you. But come over here, right? And you do like what Mary's doing. It's causing what? What is Jesus saying? Your sense of entitlement is causing anxiety and trouble. It's the source. When you feel like your rights have been violated, take it to the cross. That does not mean you respect yourself less. It is the highest form of respect. Jesus did not disrespect himself when he went to the cross, when he became a man. Number two, we got to confess entitlement. We got to admit we live in an entitled world. I live every day feeling entitled. But the truth of the matter is, I deserve justice. I deserve justice. All of mankind who don't know Jesus Christ as his or her Lord and Savior is going to experience justice, perfect justice. Perfect justice. And here's the thing. God doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't. But he gives it to us, doesn't he? It's not because he owes it to you. He created you, but he doesn't owe you. There's a difference. What did you do for God that he owes you? Isn't that what he was talking to Job about? What do I owe? What does God owe you? You got to confess it. God, you don't owe me nothing. and I deserve justice. But here's the thing. When we do that, oh, the cleansing that comes. James chapter 1, verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Are you successful? Are you smart? You're a good athlete? Do you work hard? Where do you think you get all that? Huh? Where do you think you get all that? You get it from God. Coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? People, you know, I hear sometimes, you know, people talk about, when we talk about, you know, welfare or beggars, I sometimes hear, even in my own tone, right, talks like, hey, you know, I earn my wages, I earn my living, right? Do you know that in most cities in the world, if you went into a taxi, if you got into a taxi, and you said, take me to the working class, right? You know where they would take you? Probably to the slums. People who would do most of the working, living, and dying in that city, you would be taken to the slums. You think you deserve all that you have? Really? Look, we don't need to boast. We don't have to have that language, that tone in our voice as if we deserve what we have. It's a gift. And here's the secret to contentment. Paul figured it out. When he realized he doesn't deserve jack, when he realized he doesn't deserve anything, he realized everything was a gift. And he could be thankful. So what do? Well, we die to entitlement. We give it up. And we keep dying to entitlement. This is the true esteem. This is becoming more like Christ. This is transformation. People try to think that if you exercise your right, that's self-respect. That is the lowest form of respect. Lowest form. The highest form is the example of Jesus Christ. When you lay your entitlements, when you realize it really is a gift from God, the cross comes alive. Here's what Paul says. But far from me, be it from me, to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. You know what that means? You know what crucified means? You have to first empty yourself. You have to give up your entitlements. That's how you boast in the cross. That's how the cross comes to life. But if every day you're fighting about your rights, the cross and the light of the cross will be dim. 2 Corinthians 12:5, on behalf of this man I will boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. Though if I should wish to boast, I would not be a fool, for I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that one may think more of me than he sees in me. What is Paul saying? You know what I boast about? I love talking about, I genuinely do, I love talking about what a numbskull, what a fool I've been most of my life. How I flunked high school. I love talking about. Because when you make much of your weaknesses, when you make much every time, you know why we don't join the church? Do you know why we have growth group? You know why we do that? We get together and we talk about our sins. Do you know that? We share with each other that we're not all that. We talk to each other and say, you know, I'm a pretty horrible guy, actually. I think pretty horrendous things. And we share that. And when we talk about that, when we make much of our sin, we make much of the cross. Because that's how you boast. Because God didn't love you because you're special. You're special because he loved you. Then he goes on to say, or hears from me, so to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me. To what? Keep me from being conceited. Do you know why sometimes you fail? Do you know why sometimes God takes away stuff from you? Do you know why? Because you feel entitled. You're gonna start getting conceited. You're gonna feel like you deserve it. Do you know why you get injured? Did you know that money is a very dangerous thing? And power in the hands of most people is mishandled. You know, I used to look back at my life when I was a kid. I didn't have a coach. I didn't have a tutor, right? My parents didn't have enough money to give me violin lessons or nothing. And I vowed when I grew up that I would have all those things for them, as if sometimes that would be better. You know, my parents, you know, my mom, I used to think like that. Then I look back. And I'm like, and the way that God, my Father, raised me. And I realize he's so brilliant. He withheld things from me. He denied me things. He gave me ADHD. And because he gave me the thorns in my flesh, I failed. I was disappointed. Right? I have even an addictive personality. I used to smoke a pack of cigarettes a day. You know, there's nothing about me. And yet, he loved me. And he guided me. And he took care of me. And he still does it. Look, he loves you more than the birds of the air. Right? They don't fall down, do they? That's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 11:30, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. I'm not afraid to be transparent. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is blessed forever, knows that I'm not lying. Why? Because when I boast of my weaknesses, I dim my own lights, and then the light of the cross comes into view. That is the miracle of life. Jesus says this, the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The path to this life, there's only one path for us, folks. It is through the cross. You must give up your entitlements. If you're wondering why it's been so difficult to experience grace and renewal and revival in my heart, perhaps, and most likely, you've been living under the lies and the deception of entitlements. So tonight, as you come for worship, right, let's pray. Let's lay down our rights before the cross, our rights as friends, our rights as husband and wives, as parents, as children, right? Let's lay them down, right? And live a life centered on the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, as we pray and as we, Lord, worship you. God, would you help us? God, would you lead us to the cross? God, help us to lay down our lives, our rights, our entitlements. that every time our pride surfaces and our rights are on our tongues and minds, God, you would show us the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.